morning, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. Looking forward to spending another hour with you this week, learning new things, talking about interesting topics, sharing some knowledge, spreading some love, and just enjoying each other's company. I hope that everyone has had a really pleasant week. The weather here where I am has been kind of wonky. I'm sure you can hear it in my pauses, the yuckiness from my allergies that are a constant battle these days. It seems like as proactive and as holistic I am, even my normal methods are not as effective in getting rid of the, you know, either the stuffiness or the congestion. And as I said, I know that I can hear it in my voice in the pauses, that almost palpable phlegminess that's kind of gross, but that exists. While my body is literally a human barometer when it's about to rain or storm, I am subject to barometric pressure changes. What I've noticed recently more and more is that definitely they're spraying something into the skies, and I'm feeling the results of that within a day or two. And my dad actually has been on this for years, and he always has said that you always can tell when they're spraying because it's going to rain within a day or two after that, and then everybody gets sick. And I'm seeing more and more evidence of that more regularly and absolutely on a more pronounced level than I ever have before. It's quite disturbing. I don't know if any of you have experienced the same symptoms, but typically watch the weather patterns. And that's another thing, the weather has been absolutely so wild, right? Like, it'll rain, like for instance here the last 3 days it's supposed to have rained, and it gets dark, there's no sun, which also I've noticed, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well. Where's our sunshine? And when we get the sunshine, it's not for a full day. It's for, you know, an hour here, 45 minutes there, and then it becomes dark and cloudy again. Now, this all ties into what was put out on the news several months ago about the initiative to block out the sun. I do feel as though there are parts of that program that have been initiated. It's obvious. I mean, we're not getting our typical summers. The weather patterns are just absolutely crazy. And so, yeah, for 3 days it was going to rain here, and it got dark, the sun went away, literally like two sprinkles, and then it stopped. And then it became overcast again, or stayed overcast, and then, well, 10 minutes of light rain, and then it stopped. And today it was predicted that we would get up to an inch in this area, but I had, you know, a couple hours maybe of sunshine yesterday, and then the sun went away. It's overcast, it's dreary here, no rain. So we're not getting the rain that we normally would get. We're not getting the sun that we normally would get. The temperatures are up and down. It's unseasonably cold at night and not as warm in the day, or it's scorchingly hot. And the sun, has anyone else noticed that the sun really seems to burn more hotter, just as prophesied, right? So is this a forced prophecy? Is this the time that we've been warned about? I think it's a little of both, quite honestly. And the sun, like my garden, it's scorching the plants. And another thing that I've noticed is that the bugs are much more prevalent the last couple of seasons. You've heard me talk about this on my shows before. There were bugs in my garden last year and the year before that I can't identify in any book, and I have a pretty decent library. I have a variety of books on just about every subject that you can think of, and more than one book on a particular topic, and there are just weird bugs showing up that I can't identify. So, yeah, it's been a little weird. One of the things that I do that helps is to see the result that I want and to visualize healthy plants, and especially, for instance, with my house plants, studies have shown, playing them music, talking to them, pepping them up, giving them a pep talk does help. And I've been doing the same thing with my garden. I also do the copper. I've talked about that on previous shows. Hopefully, a lot of you are engaging in that practice as well. Check it out on Google, YouTube. Look up the electro culture. And please, if you're not practicing that, give it a shot. Do a blind study like I did. You will absolutely see the results. As much as it's poo-pooed in the mainstream media, it does work. And it works very, very well. So a combination of those things and just throwing out positive energy and visualizing and seeing the plants growing stronger and healthier does help. But honestly, I've been traveling a lot, and when I am not able to put my full focus into something on a regular basis, you know, things fall to the wayside. So the shoemaker's kids, right? We all seem to have struggles like that nowadays. There just doesn't seem to be enough time in a day. And that's another thing I wanted to touch on briefly is how many of you have noticed the lapses in time, the breaks in time, and the absolute quickness that a day passes. Time seems to be flying, right? Also, something that's prophesied. Is this something, again, that is legitimate, or is it forced? It's my opinion that because of the work that they've done, or the destruction that they've done with CERN, that's absolutely affected negatively our timeline. And these are also things that we can help to control spiritually and mentally. Visualize what you want and focus on that and put that energy out there, and you'll see it will make a difference. So there's a lot of things that I want to touch on tonight. I have so many topics that have come to my attention, and my typical prayer and meditation has geared me in two or three different directions. One of the things that I wanted to talk to everybody about tonight was some experiences that I encountered this week regarding the illegal immigrant situation. I watched a video the other night that was extremely troublesome to me. It was in regards to the upcoming election, and it was a black lady's soliloquy and absolutely heart-wrenching testimony to Kamala Harris. This poor woman told the story of how, as a black woman, she says, because of the color of her skin, she was not able to secure a business loan when she wanted to start her own business. And as a result, she worked her butt off for years to pay $25,000 cash for a food truck so that she could start her own business and support herself. And it was just a testimony to her faith, her strength, her will, her determination, that she worked as long and as hard as she did to be able to pay cash, $25,000 for a food truck. How many of you out there would be able to do that right now? But subsequently, her plans changed and she decided she wanted to sell the food truck. So I guess she placed an ad. She got a response from a man who told her that he wanted to buy her food truck, but he had no money and no credit. And then he proceeded to tell her that as long as he wanted to buy the food truck, the government would provide him the funds to do so. He told her that he was an illegal immigrant. He had no credit and no money in the bank, but he was going to be able to buy her food truck with money given to him by our government. That is absolutely abhorrent. It's disgusting. It's wrong on every level. And this poor woman, as she was telling her story, broke into ugly crying and talked about how her family were veterans, how she was a veteran, and that she was thankful that he was buying her food truck. However, how is it possible, how is it fair that she worked her butt off for years, sacrificed everything to be able to live, quote unquote, the American dream, right? Run a business after paying for her truck and all of the supplies, and here comes some illegal guy that's going to be just handed that money with no credit, no money in the bank. Here's $25,000, illegal immigrant, go buy whatever it is that you desire. The second situation that I encountered was personally speaking and hit very close to home. I had to order myself some glasses recently. My year was up, I was due for my exam, and I can't do bifocals. So I have a long distance prescription and I have a reading prescription. And I've tried the bifocals, I've tried all, you know, those different lenses, and I just was overcome with headaches and dizziness. I tried for a couple of weeks several years ago, it just didn't work for me. So, well, actually longer than 7 years, for the past 5 or 6 years, I've had to buy prescription sunglasses so that I can see to drive, and distance glasses so that I can see to drive, and, you know, watch television or something, see something across the room or in a field in nature. And then reading glasses for upfront computer work, for my work, for my, you know, my business, for my work. And it's gotten extremely costly. It's between, for reasonably priced frames, people, like, I used to go to BJ's. They used to have a designer sale. And what I would do is I would go to my eye place, I would get my prescription, and then like twice a year, BJ's would have a designer sale, and I was able to get really pretty frames for less than or equal to what the chain store was going to charge me, or even the optometrist was going to charge me for frames, which they were particularly higher. But, and it wasn't so much the pretty. Everybody knows I like my shiny. I'm Italian, not going to lie. The colors and the shiny appeal to me. But it was mostly because I have a small face and I needed petite frames, and every other place that I went to wanted to sell me frames with like dinosaurs and Hello Kitty on them. So I would go to BJ's and get my designer frames a couple times a year, and they had pretty adult professional frames that suited me and looked professional. You know, I was meeting thousands of people a year and traveling, and I needed to look the part. I needed to look professional. I didn't want to walk around in something really funky looking or something that looked like it was suited for a child. So anyway, BJ stopped the frame company. They sold that company and they have their own line now, and it's just not the same. And so my local place tried to fit me with kids' frames. Nothing fit, and I was finally able to find a couple of pair that fit me for the glasses and the sunglasses, which are still big anyway, but at least they work. So I ordered my sunglasses a couple months ago, and because, you know, everything's expensive now, I waited a couple extra months to order the long distance and the reading glasses, and they came in. I went to pick them up, and all in, it was about $1,200 for the three pair. And I did get the scratch-proof coating, but I have a special prescription, so that's a little more costly. Very modest frames. It was what I could find that fit my face that looked halfway decent. And when I went in to pick up my glasses, there were three children that came in. I would say the girl was about 16, the boy about 14, and the third boy about 12 years of age, and sat next to me at the table waiting to get helped. Now, I'm assuming, I don't know all the facts, so I may be jumping to the wrong conclusion here, but the scenario as it appeared to me, it looked like these people were illegal immigrants. And the reason that I say that is because I am intuitive. I also had feelings that were geared in that direction. But the kids came and sat down. They didn't speak. They were extremely well dressed. They had on everything designer. The shirts, the one girl had a hoodie on, the boys had on t-shirts, designer shorts, very expensive looking sneakers. In fact, the 12-year-old had a really heavy gold serpentine chain around his neck. Now, yeah, it could have been gold-filled, but I've been wearing gold for years, and I'm a jewelry connoisseur. It looked real. And a gentleman came from the back room to wait on them, and he looked at them, and the girl just stated their last name, just one word. It was like Gonzalez or something like that. And she just said the name, and he goes, oh, okay, yes, your glasses are ready, I'll be right out. When he went in the back room, I noticed that the girl wearing this designer hoodie from, it was like Cancun or the Bahamas or whatever it was, and the boy had the same shade of teal shirt on. So she noticed me looking at her, and I smiled, and I said, oh, you guys are wearing the same color, you match. And both of them looked at me quizzically, looked at each other, looked up, and just kind of half nodded and sort of smiled. It was very obvious that they couldn't understand what I was saying. The man came back out. He looked at the girl, who again appeared to be 16, and he said, Mama? And she looked at him quizzically, and he said, Mama? Again, questioningly. And she nodded yes and said, Yes. So he said, okay, well, here are your glasses. He gave them each three pair of glasses in a case, didn't fit them or anything, and out they went. Not another word was exchanged. There was no money that changed hands. There was no nothing. They just took the glasses and they left. Now, whether or not an interpreter called ahead of time or a parent called ahead of time and said, you know, I'm sending my children to pick up their glasses, there could be any number of countless situations, but my feeling was that they obviously didn't speak English, and they were just there and picked up the glasses, and somehow they were paid for. But I got the impression they were immigrants, illegal immigrants. And that just sent me down a whole spiral, like, oh my gosh, you know, it's so much money to be able to afford the one thing that I do for myself once a year, you know, get my glasses. And I'm watching the situation play out, and it made me think about the state of our country. And I'm sure many of you have had different experiences where you've had encounters with maybe the same type of situation. Then I was doing some research for my show, and I came across a video of New York City and what it looks like now. It looked to be Manhattan, and that broke my heart, the trash and the garbage in the streets, as it is across the country. Our cities, our communities are literally being turned into wastelands. And then I watched an interview from a gentleman in England who was talking about the Muslims and what they're going through in their country. And then I watched a short about how Muslims are buying up Catholic churches, closed Catholic churches mostly, but the video that I watched made it seem as though they were also buying Catholic churches that were enclosed, and that may or may not be accurate, but at any rate, they're buying up churches, Catholic churches, and turning them into mosques. And that was extremely disturbing to me. And so there's a lot of stuff going on the planet that is disheartening, or can seem disheartening, but what I needed to do for me was change my focus. I could talk to you all day about what's wrong and what's negative with the planet. While I do keep my finger on the pulse as much as possible, what I've learned to do is to stop, turn off the social media after a little bit of research, go into prayer, come back to balance, and come back to a positive scenario. And again, I visualize and I see the world that I would like to have happen. I see people coming together. I see people working together to, in grassroots, change this country and have it be a more positive, loving place. I want to see it be a place where we all work together and we all support each other, and we all get rid of and eradicate the evil that is taking over the planet. And for me, that works. And I'm able to put that positive energy and prayer out there to God, to the universe, whatever it is that you believe. And it does help me. Because honestly, if you're like me, or like I used to be, it can get you down and you can go on this downward spiral and think about all the things that are wrong and not the things that are right or the things that we can change. And it can be very depressing, and this is a lot of reason for the anxiety that a lot of people are encountering now. So I just thought I'd share and give you some information of some scenarios that I encountered, both personally and on the web, and hopefully be able to uplift you by letting you know that there is positivity out there, and to please always try and remember to spread love and give that person at the checkout a positive comment, or say hi to the mailman, and just do even one kind thing a day. Still, watch your six, though. Insulate yourself in that. Put your energetic angels or bubble around you, whatever it is that you do to protect yourself. Stay in prayer and work on changing things. Be proactive in whatever areas of your life you can be proactive to help make a positive change. I also had a very disturbing, extremely disturbing incident this week that hit very, very close to home. And I wanted to talk to you about that as well. But before I broach that subject, I want to spend a minute on staycations. The reason for that is because I saw it with COVID, but I'm still seeing a lot of media, press, and different things put out there about staycations. They want to convince the American consumer that it's a great thing to stay at home and have a vacation at home. And while some of us may be fortunate enough to have or to live in an environment where we do have relative seclusion or peacefulness or nature around us, or we do have in our own little corner of the world our little piece of the pie, our little piece of sanctuary, even if it's a little tiny corner apartment garden or a special room that we can go to that's filled with plants and nature and pretty pictures on the walls, to be able to feel as though we're close with nature or whatever gives us peace and joy. Even if we live in a hovel, we have the propensity to create that little piece of sanctuary, that little, even if it's a closet, a prayer closet, that little space where we can find solitude and solace and be able to go into prayer and deep meditation. And it's not an ideal for a lot of us, maybe, but it's something. It's better than nothing. And that little space, that little area right now, is very important to be able to create and maintain, so that you have that one little, even if it's 20 feet, 10 feet of room, where you can just, that's your happy place, whether it be indoors or out. But the staycation thing. So I'm watching all of these illegal immigrants drive around in fancy cars with their designer sweatshirts. When I go out and go local touring and do things like, farmers markets, I'm seeing a lot of people that don't speak English and are not maybe the most pleasant at times, but they seem to have those, they have money to go to these places. They have money to shop at these places. They have money to tour these areas. And it's distressing again, because so many of the American people that have worked all their lives are not able maybe to go to the locals farmers market, or able to take these vacations and go places they want to go, or able to buy the home that they've always wanted or envisioned at this moment. For many people, it's a struggle just to afford groceries. But yet, here are these immigrants that are able to do all of this stuff and live the American dream without having to work for it. Distressing, yes. But anyway, going back to the staycations, it seems as though Americans are being subconsciously guided to, oh, you can stay at home and you can have your vacation at home and, you know, put in a pool and put in your little personal space. And while I agree that that's good mentally, healthily, as a temporary situation and to get you by those tough times, I feel as though, remember I said this, we're gearing up for some other kind of COVID-type crisis where they're going to tell people that you have to stay home and you can't go places, and they're going to try that whole scenario again. And I think that they're going to really put the heavy push on it this time. And we do, I'm hearing whispers of the monkeypox now. That's their new thing that's coming out. And so, and with the election on the forefront here coming up, there's going to be a lot of ploys and a lot of psychological tactics that are used. And they're ramping it up with the staycations. They're, you know, save your money, don't go away on a cruise, stay home and, you know, put in a pool and stay in your backyard. And look, you can play board games and do all these cool things with your family at your home. Well, that's fine if that's your choice, but you should have a choice. We all should have a choice. And realistically speaking, we should all be able to afford the things that we want and desire. And it's wrong that people who don't work for these things are given it. People that aren't American citizens are given it. When we have veterans homeless in the street, when we have hardworking Americans that can't afford what they want and what they need, and they're not able to live the American dream because it's being given away to non-Americans. And it is disturbing, absolutely, and I don't agree with it, but this is another thing that I pray and meditate on and change the energy and look at the positive. But watch for this. The staycations thing is being pushed again. The fear-mongering about diseases and monkeypox and all of this stuff with the upcoming election are, they're looming and they're starting to really push hard. So yes, we do need our personal sanctuary in our living space, even if it is a closet. We need to have that one spot we go to where we can go into prayer and meditation and be able to feel comfortable and secure and safe and in a place of peace, our own little sanctuary. It's important so that we can use that space to get back to balance, to turn the energy to pray on and manifest what it is that we do desire. You need to stay in that positive area, headspace of joy. You need to be thankful as though you've already achieved what it is that you desire, and be grateful that you already have it, and you need to do the right thing. And for some of us, that's extremely frustrating because we feel as though we'll never get there or it'll never happen for us. And sometimes as a result, because of our desperation to want a change and to want something different, we may jump to the conclusion that we'll just settle for something that's partially what we want or has some of the features of what we'd like, but not everything. And if it's better than our current living situation, we'll just take it because it's better than what we have now. That should not be the mindset that we have. That's self-defeating. It's not only self-defeating, but you're settling. And we are God's creation. We are the creation of the universe. We were given these wonderful powers, talents, and abilities in our mind. And by changing our energy. And when I say that, I don't mean for 5 or 10 minutes a day. I mean we need to be able to get to the place where we live in that eternal feeling of peace and joy, so that we're able to get what we desire. Even biblically speaking, and some of you may not agree with this, but I do not believe in the end times that, if you're believing the Bible, as it's put out there, that we're supposed to be desolate and distraught and that it's all negative. I do believe that we would still be able to and are still able to thrive in that situation, and that there is money to be made and to be had to do the things that we need to and that we want to in these times. We just need to focus on that. We need to stay in that joyful state, in that peaceful state, and not get impatient. Impatience will just, it'll kill you, as will ego. So please, just a word of advice to keep your sanity and to keep your dreams alive. Know that it can and it will happen for you if you truly make a life change, if you truly focus on what you want and live in that feeling of peace and joy. Yeah, in some instances, the world is turning to shit, undoubtedly, but we have the power to change all of that, and we have the ability to create our own sanctuary. And for right now, it might be a little room, but if you keep at it and you keep positive and you keep the faith, you will get what you want. It's a vibration. Everything's energy. And I can send you a plethora of videos if you email me, Maggie_Hart@Outlook.com, Maggie_Hart@Outlook.com. And scientifically, this has been proven, but we can work together. I can help you. I can counsel you. I can help you get to that good spot. We just have to keep it on a professional level. So I'm your friend, but I'm your professional, if that makes sense. I have to set boundaries, because what happens is if I don't draw that line, I have people that want to call me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and send me questions every 5 minutes, and can you help me on this and can you help me on that? What outfit should I wear today? Should I wear the color red today? I'm feeling red's a good color. Or, you know, it's just, it becomes a 24-hour constant thing. And to protect myself and to keep myself healthy, especially in regards to the personal situations that I'm encountering with my family and loved ones right now, I need to be able to set boundaries. So please appreciate that. Know that I'm more than willing to help you and counsel you, give you spiritual advice, intuitive counseling, healing, life coaching. I have that as well, and I've done that for years. Anything that you need or desire, it's my desire to help you achieve your goals. But please respect my boundaries as well. When we call it a session, it's a session. Save your questions for next time. Gather them all in an email, and we'll set up a time once a week or once a month to answer those questions and to help you. But I am not available 24/7. And what happens is, because of my heart, because of the kindness in my soul, because of how I'm built, I want to be able to do that. But I can't fill from an empty cup. And there are times that I just need to step away and take a break. But I need to be honest. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you screw up or say something, I'm going to call you out on it. okay? And I'm going to bring to light what's going on. But, you know, I may need to step away. And that's something that I need to do for myself. And I hope that you do that in your personal areas of your life as well, with your personal situations. There are a lot of narcissists out there. There are a lot of takers out there. And empaths and people with good hearts tend to get taken advantage of. Please remember to set your boundaries. You can do it in a kind and gentle way. But just say, hey, look, I gotta go right now. Take that break and come back to balance. Get your rest. Walk in beauty, walk in joy, walk in nature. And then you'll be able to more effectively sort through your feelings and help others as well. I think it's time for a break. We'll be right back after this. Song from my good buddy. Tonight we're going to do Barry Cooney. He doesn't have a professional website. He's a longtime friend, an awesome musician. And if you like his music, please email me at maggie_hart@outlook.com, and I'll pass that message along to my good friend Bear. And please enjoy his music. He's just worked so hard to bring quality stuff, and he needs people to recognize him. He's just so cool. And if you want to support the network, please, please, anything that you can give, we're totally, totally listener funded, would be great. It's $1, $20, whatever you can do. And jump on the main page, check out the other shows on the station. I'm on 3 networks right now. I'm always searching for more. But the ones that I have, I want to help get stronger and bring more listeners to, and have you guys get the experience of the whole network as well as just my show. Jump on the chat room. If you want to be a superstar and you have your own business, please consider sponsoring a spot on our network, whether it be on my show or any other show on the network in general. If you don't have a professional commercial, please contact the owner, and I'm sure he and the producer would be happy to put something together that you'll truly love. So again, here is Barry Cooney. Enjoy the music. We'll be back after this.
Love has many ways of finding. People alone and crying, and it came to me in the spring of year. The first time that I saw you, I wish that I could meet you. And you are now my wish came true. But the darkness falls alive, and child follows his mother. I'll follow you. You said no, no. And when we're together walking, holding hands and always talking, you make me feel so good inside. Then I think of before I met you, I was alone and never talked to. Then you came and took those days away. But a large sheep follows the sea, an airplane follows the sky. I follow you till you say no, no. Your love is making me hard. It's growing strong and can never be mine. And I know we I stand a chance. And as the years go by, I hope our love won't die. It's given me what I needed to live on. But time is flown by age, our reader follows a page. I follow you till you say no, no.
And we're back for the second half of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Thanks for rejoining me, everybody. That was my good buddy Bear, Barry Cooney, with Love Has Many Ways. If you like his music, please hit me up at Maggie_Hart@Outlook.com so I can reach out to Barry and let him know how much you love my favorite Canadian on the planet. And boy, that's going to stretch because, you know, Brian Adams, Wayne Gretzky, all those guys. But Bear's my bud, and I wish him and his family well. Hope everybody's doing okay. And also, I need to mention my good buddy Pat Carr from New Orleans, Louisiana, who is just so amazing. He allows me to play. My entry and exit music is his stuff, and he lets me play his music on my intermission as well. You can reach Pat at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Check him out. He's on SoundClick, Reverb Nation. He is all over the place. You guys know the drill. Support him, please. He needs it. We all need it at this time, and he's just, they're both great musicians. I'm so appreciative and thank you to each of those wonderful fellas and for all of you for listening. In the second half of the show tonight, I'd like to address a situation that also hit very close to home for me this week. Everybody out there listening, if you need help, whether it be from depression, anxiety, drugs, alcohol, please don't ever feel as though you're alone. Please reach out and call an 800 number. Call a family friend, a loved one. Do not try and navigate this alone, because we are in such horrific times that the drug crisis in our country has risen exponentially in a very short amount of time due to the borders being open primarily, and the reports across the country, the things that I see on a consistent basis just in my own communities and as I travel from here to there and back again are just, they're very, very upsetting to me. And I would like for everybody out there to know that there's always somebody to talk to. Get a hold of me if you need to. But please don't ever feel like you can't get control of a situation and you don't have anybody to talk to. Because ever since COVID, it's been a really sad state of affairs for people. We've been under immense spiritual attack as a whole. And we're made to, you know, part of the attack is people are made to feel as though they're alone and made to feel as though they're not good enough, made to feel like they're helpless, and many other things as well. But you just don't, please, don't. Don't hurt yourself. Don't ever think that it's too late. Don't ever think that you're not good enough. Don't ever think that you aren't loved and you aren't special and you aren't a precious, precious gift to humanity. You may not have discovered yet what your gifts or your life purpose is, but suffice it to know that you are enough. I had a situation prop up this week where a very close kid that was pretty much raised in my home got himself into some very serious trouble. This child had suffered an immense amount of sadness and trauma in his early years, did not have the most supportive of households in his later teenage years, and as many of the kids in the community did, sought solace at my home. It's been a running joke for years that my house had a swinging door on it, because everybody, all the kids in my children's group, just if they needed something, they came here. If they wanted to eat, they came here. If they wanted to talk, they came here. If they needed healing, they came here. If they wanted a cup of coffee, they came here. And I was always happy to see each and every one of them, because I wanted them to know how special and important they were. And several of them did not, most of them took a really great path and did very well for themselves. And one girl in particular, my heart goes out to her right now, because she's suffering along with this other child. But, you know, and they're really not kids anymore, they're adults, right? But in my heart, they'll always be my second kids. But she's going through a lot right now, and I just, without saying too much, I ask for everybody to send prayers and positive light to all of the children in my group that I helped to care for over the years, even in very insignificant ways, whether it be just to come here for dinner once in a while, and just for children in general, and our youth in general, and humanity as a whole. So this kid got himself into a world of trouble. He had been doing wonderfully and had been under the influence previously throughout the years with alcohol and drugs, and was really making what appeared to be an extremely conscious effort to change his life around and do the right thing and be a good guy. And he faltered. He faltered like so many do that are struggling with these issues. Having a strong faith and being spiritual and continuing to stay spiritually led is so important nowadays. What I feel and what I know is that alcoholism has always been an issue, but the drug situation with fentanyl and tranq and all of these horrible, absolutely demonic synthetic drugs that are around and so readily available are desecrating our country and our children. And what I know is that this is absolutely the most heinous demonic attack that I could have possibly imagined. I've seen what's coming, I've seen what's was going to come, and I have to be honest. Alcohol has always been an issue. We always know they call it spirits for a reason, because anybody who's listened to me talk about spiritual warfare knows that the bad guys enter you when you engage in practices such as alcohol, drugs, porn. If you listen to even certain kinds of music or watch certain things, they come in through the orifices of the body. And what is happening, and I'm really not sure how it's happening, and it really doesn't matter how it's happening. The fact is that it is happening, is that these new drugs in particular that are out there are absolutely infused with demonic spirits. Whether or not the people that are producing this stuff are just so taken themselves that these energies are jumping and following the drugs to a person and then entering that way, or whether these drugs are being spell and demonically infused, which I think is probably a safe bet. There's some sort of evil power that these drugs hold that are making people do even more heinous things, even more evil things, just absolutely atrocious things. And they're very, very powerful in their control over people, i.e. when they take them, it's seemingly instantly addicted, and addicted for, in some cases, in a lot of cases, life. And the life is very short-lived as a result, especially when they're cutting them, as I said earlier, like fentanyl with this tranq, which literally rots your skin off. I go back to the years of the bath salts, where people were eating people's faces, and I thought that was pretty bad, and this just seems to be so much worse. And the reason that I say this is because we know that not enough people have taken the jab, And we also know that there's a substance that is contained in the formulas called luciferase. And we've talked about the mood shifts and the dispositional changes of people who have taken the jab and how they become more feral, for lack of a better term. And I'm seeing this as well in the people that I deal with that have instances of alcohol and drug abuse. Even the alcohol that's out there is different somehow. It's formulated differently, as I said, whether or not it's prayed over, spelled over, you know, whatever. Not enough people have taken the jab, and they're on a full court press to obtain their nefarious end means, the bad guys, and so they're putting stuff in these substances, I think, more readily than other things. However, having said that, we also know about the shots and the injections that they're now giving, the food that we eat, the livestock that we eat. But as Paul said, and I don't mean as far as drugs, but you know, before you crucify me, if you drink or partake in alcohol occasionally, everything in moderation. It's spoken about in the Bible. Jesus turned water into wine. And so, and there are some very beneficial effects physiologically. Studies have shown for drinking an occasional glass of wine here and there. I'm talking about the hardcore stuff and, you know, alcoholics in particular, drug addicts in particular. And, you know, I don't see that there's any reason that you could, like, engage in fentanyl once. And you shouldn't be doing that. It's an illegal substance and it's very dangerous. But you get my drift. And for those of you that think I'm crazy, let me rewind the clock a few years and go back to the story that I did about the actual legitimate drink. Google it. The demon-infused liquid death water, the mountain water, where a witch was performing spells in the warehouses over the water to have demonic spirits enter this commercially sold water. That was, they advertised it, they were blatant about it, they did a commercial about it. And what about little Naz with his Satan Nikes with human blood in it? So if you think I'm nuts, research some of that, Google it. I feel as though they are absolutely infusing these drugs and some of the newer alcohols that are out there, which were dangerous enough to begin with to certain people, with demonic spirits. Look at the bottles of the alcohol that you're drinking, the liquor. Look at the symbology contained in the bottles. Look at even, we've talked before on my shows about Monster and the symbology on the cans of Monster drink and what that does to people's bodies. Still think I'm crazy? Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in, folks. So I'd like for everybody to be aware of this and know that there is a lot more going on behind the scenes than we can even begin to fathom. And we need to be so careful now with what we put into our bodies. We need to pray over and send positive energy to and protect ourselves and our loved ones. And I make it a practice before I eat or drink anything to say a silent prayer over it to purify it, sanctify it, take out anything harmful from it, and just put out the energy that whatever it is that I'm taking into my body, whether it be a drink of water or a cup of coffee or a meal, that it serves to nourish and help my body, and I push away anything in the food that I'm eating or the drink that I'm drinking that if it has a negative impact or is detrimental to me, that it's made harmless. There's no tolerance. My body is my temple, and I will not allow anything to come into my body that will be harmful to me. I just set that intent, and I use prayer, and I use visualization and positive energy. And I'm asking that all of you do the same. Please pray over your meals as you're preparing them, even. Just a quick, you know, quick little prayer and put out the energy that this is to nourish my body and nothing negative is allowed to come into my sacred space, into my temple or my family's temples. And please, if you have anyone in your family who's suffering from some type of abuse, get them help. Be a sense of support for them. Be their rock. They need it now more than ever. And if you're suffering or struggling, please reach out and get help. It's not just, you know, the stuff that we grew up with, which was bad enough. The substances that are out there are so much worse in nature, both to the physical and to the spiritual body. Please believe me when I tell you these things. It's even if you think I'm crazy, still pray over each other and get help for the people that need it. Be a sense of support to them. Be a positive force. Be their rock. And pray over and protect your families, please, on a very regular basis. We all need it right now. And spread that love. Spread that kindness. That's how we change things. We all need to take our turn on that spiritual wall and be a protective, positive force for everyone in need right now. Ask for the angelic protection to help to give you strength and carry you through and stay strong in your faith and conviction. It's so easy to cast someone aside if they make a mistake or do something wrong. And what I learned this week upon self-introspection is it's really easy to be disgusted and turned off by things that people are doing nowadays under the influence of these substances particularly. But having the background in spiritual warfare, I also know that it's not the person that's at fault, it's what's in them or around them. So it's a very hard thing not to judge someone when they've done something that's considered pretty bad. And it's important that we try and maintain a sense of forgiveness and try and help them and to change and to pray for them. And while we're entitled to righteous anger in the heat of the moment, emotionally speaking, it's really easy to let those emotions go unchecked and go off the rails, as it were, and lose your temper and, you know, spew words and opinions. But we're really not supposed to do that. That's not the essence that we were created to live in. We were supposed to live in love and forgiveness and peace, right? So, oh boy, it's just hard. It's hard, isn't it? But we're making the journey together, and thank you all for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. I wish you all a joyous evening and week, and we'll see you next time. Please remember, forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. Please support the network, and if you need to get a hold of me, again, it's Maggie_Hart, Maggie_Hart, @outlook.com. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Have a great night and a great week. I'm pulling for each and every one of you, and if you find it in your heart, send some love and peace my way. I could sure use it this week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.